Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Kincaid's the leader of the soccer team.
No, there is no bigger soccer fan than the great Kevin Kincaid. We got to get him on the show.
He should work for the MLS.
He really should.
He really should.
He should run the MLS.
I agree.
Not the real estate MLS. That's the listings, right?
Right.
Isn't that what they call it in real estate, the MLS? Mm-hmm.
It's always soccer in Philadelphia on a Wednesday, and I got to be honest with you, this is a brand new show that I'm trying here. I have prepared absolutely nothing, and we're just going to wing it, and we're going to go macro here and try to gauge how people feel, you know, about the last couple games and about losing out on the Shield. You know, are you confident going into the playoffs? Helping me to answer these questions today from the gambler, it's Sean Brace. What's up, brother?
My man, Kevin Kincaid. Always a pleasure, sir, and can't thank you enough for this opportunity to talk about the hottest team. Yes, I understand the Philadelphia Eagles are 4-0 and they're undefeated, last undefeated team in the NFL, but the hottest team in Philadelphia sports continues to be the Philadelphia Union, even though they've struggled as of late. We're getting ready. We're locking down that one seat on Sunday, Kevin, and everything is going to be smooth sailing from then on out.
So you're Philadelphia, man. You're not one of those people who's like, oh, the last two games concern me, you know, losing out on the Shield. Like, this form is going to carry into Toronto in the playoffs. You think that's just an aberration and they're going to turn it around and not worry about that?
Look, I'm definitely, it wasn't pretty and I wanted the Shield. I wasn't one of those naysayers like, I don't want any of that. You know, that game against Charlotte was ugly. You know, I never want to lose like that, but I definitely think the conditions, I definitely think the turf, I can give you all sorts of excuses, but I do believe that all played into it. Bedoya, you know, is he healthy? If he's healthy, if everybody's healthy, when we get this party started coming up here in the MLS playoffs, then I will definitely feel like this team could absolutely hit that switch and score five goals at home. And blow some teams out, and of course, hopefully that's the case, but get to the Eastern Conference Final and play a home game there, and I don't know who they'll be facing. We don't know the path, but I am Philadelphia. I am, you know, looking at it like, hey, again, not trying to make excuses, but it was a couple different things that weren't going their way with the international break, and then the turf, I think, played into it. It was an ugly performance, but this team will let it go. It was a stinker. They haven't had many of those this year. I think they'll be ready to go.
Here's the thing. I'm trying to go back and think of when we first started talking about the Shield on the post-game show this year. Because if you go back to April and May, when they lost to Toronto, and then they had like a stretch of like five straight draws, you know? Like, okay, they weren't really scoring, and then they exploded like in the second half. I don't think anybody had any kind of realistic, like, hey, they could win this shit until maybe like the 6-0 against Houston, or coming out the back end of it. They had the 4-1 to Chicago, they lost in Dallas, and they beat DC, they beat Colorado, they beat Atlanta. Like, I'm trying to think, like, realistically, like, did anybody really truly start to think about the Shield before August?
It snuck up on me. I won't lie about it. It snuck up on me. I looked at LAFC and what they were doing out there. And, of course, with the signing of everybody that they got this season. I mean, I paid attention to them, but that they were in the distance a lot more than what they have been for the past couple seasons. And maybe that was one of the main reasons why the Shield did sneak up on me. But you're right. It wasn't anything that I was really thinking about. And forgive me for this. Like, this might be that American sports fan mentality. Like, that regular season means nothing to me. It doesn't. Like, as long as you get the one seed, as long as you get home field, I get it. It's great. You want the trophy. They got that 2 seasons ago. I won an MLS Cup, Kev. And last year, we got the carpet pulled out underneath us with that nonsense for COVID. We would have beat NYC. We would have went to the MLS Cup. I think we might have won, but who knows? That's what my focus on has been on all season long. Would the Shield have been great? Absolutely. It would have been great. It would have been amazing. You know, put another trophy in the case. People would have been talking about it. All the fanfare that comes with it. The Suns have been carried around with them. I mean, it's really cool. I saw somebody put on the timeline something along the lines of, like, this will be the featured on top of the coaster, which I thought was pretty funny. You know, the cup on top of the coaster, whatever it was.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, I could buy into that. But all in all, my focus has been on the overall number one seed in the Eastern Conference. Yeah. And if they win on Sunday, everything else goes
away. That's easy. And that's easier to share, like, if we're talking about in terms of, like, growing it and the 4-for-4 buy-in and, like, reaching people who are new or trying to just expand the profile of the team. Because I still can't even explain to some people the Shield from 2020. Like, what the fuck does that mean? It's a regular season thing? Yes, it is. It's harder to win, honestly. I personally think that the Shield is a better trophy than MLS Cup, even with an unbalanced schedule, because I think you have to win more games and you have to be better over a longer amount of time to win that trophy. But here's the thing that bothers me, man. It's like, if they were kind of neck and neck with a couple teams and LA just kind of outplayed them, you know, or like Austin or Montreal came on strong and, you know, the Union were playing well down the stretch and they just lost out because one team was just a little bit better than them, then okay. You know, I mean, that happens, right? It's fucking hard to win the Shield. Yep. I mean, it is a hard trophy to win because you don't have a lot of opportunities to slip up. But I think the thing that bothers me the most about it is that they battled so hard, man, to get to a position where they quote unquote control their own destiny. I know some people think that phrase is meaningless because you can't technically control your destiny if it's preordained, right? Mm-hmm. But that's neither here nor there. But they were in a position where if they won 3 in a row, there's nothing that LA could do. You know, I didn't expect them to go win 3 in a row, you know, but maybe LA would slip up and, you know, along the way. But what I did not expect was the last 2 performances that we got. If they go down and draw Atlanta and then they get like a draw with Charlotte or they lose like a 2-1 or something tight, so be it. But they looked like they'd never played a damn game on turf in their entire life. And the defense, I can't put anything on the D after the Charlotte game because the conditions were shitty. The NFL lines were a total joke. I can't believe we're still doing that in 2022. And the way that they busted their ass in Atlanta to keep a clean sheet when the offense couldn't string together 2 passes and Carranza and Gajdog and Orr looked like they'd never seen turf before in their entire life. That, I think, is the thing that's bothersome to me. It's that they came that far and got it to a point where they controlled it. You know, and then we got a couple shit performances on top of it. So I'm not really one of those people who's like a goalpost mover. You know what I mean? It's like, I didn't expect them to win the Shield at the beginning of the year, but it's like, oh, now we recalibrate because they are really good. I don't know. I think you got to set expectations at the beginning of the year and whatever, but I can understand why people would be upset about that because they battled and they worked so hard to put themselves in a position where it was right there.
Number one, I just want to follow up and say, I don't know how you feel about this, but I wouldn't mind if they went straight up English Premier League, remove the playoffs, remove the MLS Cup, and the season is what the season is. Yeah. I would love that. Yeah. So I dig the supporter shield. I don't want that to come off wrong. But my point is, like, we won that 2 years ago, right? And it really didn't grab the lights like it did. It did for everybody that was inside the Philadelphia Union.
But we had to spin it when we were writing it for other people, man. We had to, like, phrase it like, hey, they won their first trophy.
Yep. No, you know I mean? I want MLS Cup. I want national TV. I want, you know, I want the conversation to be like, where are we having the parade? You know, that's what I want. And we're getting a parade and it's going to be downtown. It's not going to be in Chester. All right. Nonsense.
And if Kenny be leading it? Will Kenny be there if he doesn't give a shit about the city currently, or will he take that one off too?
The blase attitude. Will just be like, hey, congratulations, Jim.
Yeah. Congratulations. By the way, when Kenny, can I retire?
Isn't he a soccer guy?
Huge soccer guy. He actually started following me back in the day, like 10 years ago, but when he was still on city council, because he was like a huge soccer fan.
Yeah.
He was a big sports fan. Yeah. So he's actually always been like pretty good with the sport. I think he would do, you know what I think they would do, Sean, is they would probably do like a, you could probably justify like a Villanova type thing.
Correct. City Hall.
We'd do like, you know, City Hall or a couple blocks or whatever, yep. You know?
Yeah, that's exactly what, and that's, hey, look, that's all we need. That Chester parking lot nonsense, stop it. Because I'll tell you, if this team is able to do it, Kev, it's such a different vibe up there. I got up there 2 months ago to a home game, and you just felt it. The energy is different. It's a whole different ball game than what it used to be the years leading up, which has always been special. But this year, there's just something else there. So my theory is, if this team is able to put it together, and God forbid, if they're able to throw a crooked number up against one of these teams in the playoffs to really get the juices going, I think a lot more people will be interested, especially if we get to that MLS Cup final. Next thing you know, everybody's going to be watching, and it's a Philadelphia championship. That's all there is to it.
I'm going to add another layer to the macro thing. I'm going to go macro on top of macro. This is kind of like the movie Inception, but in like the reverse order. So they don't win the Shield, whatever. They didn't really try in the Open Cup, whatever. Regardless of what happens in the playoffs, to me, it already is and always will be the best season that they have ever had. Statistically speaking, all the goals that they scored, as good as the defense was, the number of people up for awards, I mean, they had like 8 dudes up for like multiple different awards, right? What I don't want, Sean, and what I think would be damaging is I need to be able to tell people that the greatest season in Philadelphia Union history resulted in something. Because if they go 0-3 on trophies and or they crash out of the playoffs in the first round, then what is the story of 2022? You know, because we're going back and then saying, well, they scored a bazillion goals and they had this amazing goal differential and Andre Blake won goalkeeper of the year and this guy was an MVP candidate. But, you know, there's nothing in the trophy case. You know what I mean? And I don't really know if I'm even like, I'm just kind of babbling here, but I think there's a question in here somewhere about does it matter if they don't win something? Like, does it tarnish the season that they had? I guess this is disguised as like a what makes a successful season.
Yeah, it's an interesting question because, you know, when you have nothing to show for it except for a bunch of box scores that and a fun season, all in all, yeah, exactly. I'm right there with you. And that's interesting. You know, maybe that's something that might change Curtin's perspective or whoever is running the franchise in the next couple of years' perspective. And, you know, maybe as this team continues to get deeper with the young kids coming up from the academy, I mean, what they unveiled yesterday is just next level. I can't hear your thoughts on that. It's only
a lot of questions about that, by the way, from readers.
About the parking lot situation.
I mean, the parking lot shit.
We complain about the dumbest things, dude. We find a way to complain about the dumbest things. Here it is, just going to make this gigantic complex that's going to raise everything up another level. And the first thing I see is people saying, where am I going to park? Now I got to walk farther. I mean, I tell you, we're keeping it Philadelphia, baby.
Yeah.
Keeping it it's decision day around the corner.
People like think, look, it's like voting, man. Like people think about stuff that affects them, you know? You know how many questions I got like in the last 10 years about when are they going to pave the parking lots? You know, when they asked like McDermott about it, and he's like, well, I got to think about the net positive versus the net negative of like, well,
that's why they didn't, because they had this, you know, in the back of their mind, like, hey, this is instead of doing that, we plan on doing something even bigger, but the
people who are tailgating on like fucking dirt, you know, are thinking like, hey, this would be nicer if it was blah, blah, blah. But anyway, let me make a final point before we get into all that.
I like that.
Here's my like only legitimate fear. Like if I really had to go like macro level Negadelphia here, I don't want this stretch of Union soccer, which is the best stretch in team history, to end up in hindsight looking like the 2007 to like 2012 Phillies, right? Where it was like this amazing era with amazing players, like great characters, dudes up for awards, like amazing moments, the stadium full and rocking. And then what do you have to show for it? One trophy. And we should all be happy with anything, right? I mean, it's hard to win trophies in any sport, man, but it would be a little bitter, I think, to go back and say, like, this is the greatest era ever. What did they win? Okay, they got the COVID shield, you know, which is a legitimate trophy, but it's people are going to try to put the asterisk on it, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's what I want. I just want something where it's like, I don't have to explain about how good they were, because this speaks, MLS Cup speaks for itself, or the shield speaks for itself. You know what I'm saying?
Totally agree. And just to your Phillies point, I've always been on the record saying that if, and it hit me during that stretch where if you look at teams that win two, they are completely viewed differently than just one. That's obvious, but you know, you could talk about the greatest team ever, one of the best times, the stretch, XYZ. When you only have that one World Series championship, it's comparable to everybody else. Hell, even the 93 Phillies gets brought up, even though they didn't win it all, you know?
Yeah.
So you need a little something more. Look, to me, if this team, they got to do it. They got to get to the MLS Cup, or else it's going to look like a really bad collapse. I mean, this team was untouchable. This team was Teflon throughout the course. I mean, it's just crazy. What was the thing I tweeted out on Saturday? Second time, if I'm not mistaken, I think that was the second time or two times up into that game against Charlotte. This is the second time only up into that game in Charlotte that they trailed at half. You know, like, think about that from a full season's perspective.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people that are diehard Union fans that have been in out there the River End, you know, for all those years. And it's just like, oh, my goodness, man, we're good at soccer. Like, we are incredible right now.
So
they got to put it together. They got to find a way to, you know, ramp this thing back up. That week off will give them a nice little buffer period, figure out who they're playing. Of course, got to win Sunday. No draw, none of that nonsense. Smack the hell out of Toronto. They're a huge favorite. Move them out the way, get the bye, and then, you know, you lock up home field advantage and then obviously ramp this thing back
up. Here's the thing, like, the other side of this, of not winning the Shield and not playing one of the last two games, is that you give a Montreal lifeline here.
Yeah.
So as it stands, going into decision day, Montreal on 62, the Union on 64. Montreal has the tiebreaker, right? They've got 19 wins and the Union have 18. Again, this is where those draws just came back to bite them in the ass, not just losing out the tiebreaker to LA, but losing the tiebreaker to Montreal if it comes down to that. Philly on 64, Montreal on 62, right? If you win, you claim first place, you get the bye, no problem. Montreal has to go to Miami. Kind of a tough trip for them. Miami's fighting for a playoff spot right now. Yep. They're seventh. So it's not a given here. Toronto concedes a bunch of goals, but they've got a bunch of dangerous dudes too. You have to go out there, Sean, and plaster these motherfuckers.
Yep.
Bury them in the fucking ground. Like, absolutely smash these dudes, right? Then everybody's – it's a get-right game. Going to the playoffs on a high note, you know? You know what's interesting, man, is because I spent all weekend bitching about the turf, and I was arguing with – doofus Charlotte FC accounts on Twitter, who, it's funny because they think I'm a fan. I'm not really a fan. I just kind of hate turf, and I want the Union to win because I want to be able to help the sport here, you know. But they actually had not lost on turf all season long prior to the Charlotte game. Right, so they went up to, I pulled them all up here. Okay, I this is what I did while the one thing that I prepared as we were like doing this. 2-1 in Montreal, the big O. Remember February, cold as shit. Yep. So they play indoors. They are crap turf. They won 2-1 on the crap turf.
I think they were down 1-0 in that game, scored the final two.
That's right. Yeah. And that was the game where Jack Elliott got the red card rescinded. Because there was like an off, there's some kind of foul or offside on something on the red card. Carranza actually got sent off later in that game and then they held on. So they won 2-1 in the big O. They went to Portland, played at the time probably their best game of the season, and they won on the Portland turf, which, by the way, I've been told that turf is the best turf in MLS because it's made more specifically for soccer. It's more advanced. It's not like the old school bullshit. It's not like the NFL shared stuff, right, that they have in Charlotte, you know. Mm-hmm. So they won 2-0. The very next game, they went to Foxborough and they played in Gillette. They got a 1-1 at Gillette on the crap turf. They then had, let me count this out here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 straight games on grass before they went to Atlanta, right? No NFL lines or whatever in Atlanta. They bust their ass, the defense bust their ass, and they get the 0-0 there. And then they completely fall apart in Charlotte. It's wet. It's crappy. There's NFL lines or whatever. Sean, no, it's 2022. No team should be playing on turf at all. And I get it. It's like in Cascadia, Portland, Seattle, it rains all the time. Like they have like major field drainage issues, but Gillette should be fired into the fucking sun.
Yep.
The fact that you have to go play an expansion team and there's NFL lines on the field is embarrassing. Like, how do I sell like a supporter's shield? Like they're going for a trophy, like coming down to the wire race here. And then you these jokers are playing in a friggin' NFL stadium where there's a bunch of white lines everywhere. Like I can't say it's like the Eminem video where the guy hands him the CD and he's like, "You're rapping about all this stuff. I can't publish this shit." You know, it's like me trying to. It's the way I am video, right?
Now, so correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. Didn't they say that they had to have the lines painted as dark as it was due to the fact of the hurricane and everything along those lines?
Yes, you know, extenuating circumstances, right? But yeah. Regardless, that the end product. Is not ideal, you know? And like, I'm all for growing the game. They had a great crowd down there. They set like a friggin' record, but like at the same time, like you still got a team playing in a baseball stadium. You got another team playing in an NFL stadium. You got another team playing in an NFL stadium. Like MLS made it a priority to get all these teams in soccer specific stadiums, but they're bringing the new teams who are playing in these shit stadiums. It's like a trophy is on the line here and you got to play on that.
Dude,
it's embarrassing.
The tweet that came out yesterday about the fact that you just brought it up with NYCFC. They are playing. Now I'm just trying to dig up this tweet. They're playing their first round game. Yeah, Soccer Times. Here it is. NYCFC confirmed their first round MLS playoff match will be played at Red Bull Arena. In the event that NYC hosts Red Bull New York in the first round, an alternative venue will be used for the match.
I mean, what are they going to go back up to like Hartford or something to play Rentschler again? You know,
like they have a long list of shit that they got to figure out.
Yeah.
Now there's a lot of good things that are happening with the MLS. I'm excited to see what this Apple deal is going to look like next year. Yeah. I'm excited, but cautious. You know, I'm trying to figure out we're not hearing much as far as the broadcast teams and everything along those lines. What's going to happen there?
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to that. No more blackouts. Like, there's some things that are moving in the right favor, but I'm totally with you. When I tuned into that game on Saturday, I saw those lines. I was struggling as a fan just watching it, right? Yeah. I can only imagine what it was like playing. And you get this nonsense where it's like, wait a minute. You're mean to tell me that they're going to have to play, and if they play each other, it's going to be some other different venue? It's a joke. Yeah. You can't have that.
By the way, Sean, there's layers to the game here too. When they played at the Big O and when they played in Atlanta, they had, a roof over top of the turf. So at least you were playing in a climate controlled environment. And so you remove one layer of non-control. What the hell am I trying to say? You remove one circumstance that you have no control over. You know what I'm saying? The weather. So at least you're in a sterile environment when you're playing in Montreal in the Big O, or when you're playing at Mercedes-Benz down in Atlanta, when you're playing outdoor at Gillette, or when you're playing outdoor in Charlotte. It's like you're whatever the weather is, you're fucked, you know? So like you got to deal with that. And like, for as far as MLS has come, and as amazing as the league is now compared to what it was 10 years ago, you still have this thorn in your side with some of these stadiums, some of the situations. Like, how do I sell the seriousness of a trophy pursuit when you got to go down and play on that clown field down there? You know, so that's what annoyed me. It's like, I get you have extenuating circumstances and stuff you can't control, but MLS just needs to do a better job of the stuff that they can control.
Agreed.
and try to avoid putting teams in these situations to begin with, not just for the Union, but for Charlotte as well. They should be playing in their own soccer stadium. They shouldn't have to share it with the Panthers, you know?
Which I would imagine is probably going to happen. That dude's got a lot of money, but I just,
Tepper,
no idea where he's going to build it and all that. But look, they got a great fan base. That place was, and I know it wasn't raining during the game, if I'm not mistaken, nothing crazy as far as weather is concerned, but it did come through earlier that day, 8 a.m. to 10, whatever it was, 12.
It looked a little windy and crappy too.
Yeah, it did. They had a good crowd. They had a good crowd. Yeah. So I was like, okay, Charlotte, look, all these new squads, I don't know what it is. You get these new cities and whatever it is, you put a new restaurant, new team, new whatever, and everybody eats it up. And I don't know if it's millennials, I don't know if it's young folk, but I just never thought a soccer team would work in Charlotte, but it looked pretty good.
We'll take it, man. I just need the expansion team fans and Twitter accounts just to pipe the fuck down before they get in my mentions. So that's
know your role.
Yeah, know your role. At least like be a real team for a year before you start coming at us. But anyway, no, that was fun. I think I made up with the guy afterwards. But one final point, and then you cool to take some questions?
Sure.
Okay. So last point is they need Alejandro Bedoya. Like, I need two arms, you know. His absence out there was glaring. And I love Jack McGlynn. Think he's a great kid with a huge future. He cannot play on the right side of the diamond because he's a left-footed player. It's very hard to play on your opposite foot. And I don't even know if he's a diamond guy to begin with. I think he's a traditional 4-2-3-1 ball moving shuttler eight. Right. So I don't know what the other option would have been. Maybe you could have flipped Leon Flock and had him play since he's not a great passer to begin with. Maybe you could have tried him on the right side and put Jack on a strong foot on the left, try to get something with possession, but they just really got nothing out of that position. Like, you see how important Bedoya is in terms of just getting them organized, getting them settled, get him on the ball, you know, work up the right flank there. They still build a lot of their possession, a lot of their movements up the right side. Just without him out there, it was definitely noticeable. So that was a big part of it as well. All right. Let me see what we got.
No doubt. I mean, look, he's the captain, you know, and he provides so much more than just being what he does on the pitch. The motivational factor when a team is struggling, team's down. I don't know. Would they have gotten – I don't know. I don't think they would have won the game. It didn't look like their day. Would they have gotten blown out 4-0? Probably not. Yeah. But bottom line is, Bedoya, you bring him back healthy. I just feel like this team is going to click, hit the switch, man. I really
do. You also remove, too, when McGlynn is starting, you remove, like, the main sub that you've been making in every game, too, because he's, like, the first guy off the bench in addition to, like, you know, Corey Burke or whatever. So now you've removed, you know, that has a domino effect where I can't make this tweak in the second half and give us a little more possession because he had to start in a non-preferred position because the other guy's out. So it's a whole trickle down thing, but not,
I mean, play, you know? They were scoring a bunch of goals, and then the two games that he missed, the attack was lacking. They got no goals. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, he is really important.
And that was the catalyst too, Sean, for when they started to figure it out offensively, was they dropped Bedoya a little back a little bit more. They tried to get him on the ball a little bit more. They made that little tactical tweak on the right flank there. And when he's not there, you really notice it.
He's proved his worth, man. I'll tell you what, I definitely was questioning. I think coming into the season, I was just like, man, I want Bedoya to be around at the end of the year. I don't know if we need to play him every single match. Yeah. We know how Jim operates. He's not on that wavelength.
Alejandro Bedoya, whatever he's been doing to himself, you know, nutrition, fitness, sports science, whatever, he and Garrison Draper deserve an award from something. Well, maybe we'll make one up. Maybe we'll do the Always Soccer and Fox Gambler, you know, first and first, you know, inaugural sports science award or something.
And
we'll go up the street and I'll get a trophy made and we'll hand it to him. Just so somebody gives him like some recognition for the shit, because it's like really, really good. You know, I honestly wish that the league would do something like that. Like, they've had so little in the way of injuries and like their squad rotation is non-existent because they just trust the science so much. Like, people should probably talk more about that. But anyway,
trust the science, baby. Trust the science.
So Biggins says the new Apple deal, is it going to be worse for fans because there'll be no local voice? It seems to me with the different broadcasters each game, there'll be less familiarity with the teams. Any chance that each team will have the same broadcasters doing their home games? So this has been a big topic, right? I mean, like, the local broadcast is going away. Some people like the, you know, I don't know if bias is the right word, the favorability towards the home team or the familiarity, right? You get the same crew every single time. Is it going to be the same moving forward? You know, I don't know. If I was, and again, too, we have no idea who's going to be I don't think they've announced a single broadcast for next year.
No.
Nope. What's the deal, Sean? Do you know anything about radio? Like, are you guys, is Dave going to be involved? Like, has anybody told you anything about that?
Nothing. Nothing. And not to that it's under wraps or anything along those lines. I will let everybody know whether it's just crazy because there's no off season, right? So the last couple we've been involved with the Philadelphia Union, it's really been right up to like literally February till we find out what's exactly happening. Yeah. And that was without a change. So something like this, I haven't heard much. John Jansen was telling me that he heard that possibly there'd be 12 announcing booths. Mm-hmm. I did not find that out or not, whatnot. I do know this much. I think Apple would be ridiculous if they did not get Dave Leno involved in some sort of way.
Yeah.
That dude is phenomenal. I love listening to him call a game, especially when it comes to radio. That dude is just so descriptive. He is amazing.
Yeah.
So hopefully they say, you know what, let's get somebody in here that does have familiarity with the team, and Dave would fit that bill. Maybe that could be the case.
Well, JP and Dave and Danny as well, they all call stuff outside of the Philadelphia Union, right? Correct. So I think what the for me, the line of demarcation here, if you were going to look at like taking some of these teams with you to the Apple deal, I would look first at who does other teams and other games. JP's called everything, right? Dave calls a bunch of different stuff. Danny does Premier League and whatever. So there's no, if you that have,
incredible.
Like to me in a vacuum, and I'm just doing a hypothetical here, but if you had like a broadcaster who only did like the Houston Dynamo versus like, you know, having to the choice of people who have done multiple teams and multiple other games, like I would think that the latter would be a better choice because they've just shown in the past that they've been able to do this before. Not saying that the Houston guy couldn't do it, but it's like, you know, they're going to have to be calling multiple games, multiple teams. It's going to require more prep work. You're going to have to do more film study. You're going to have to know who you're talking about, you know? So
I don't think Apple's really done a great job with the MLB. Just saying, I didn't like what they put out there as far as the broadcast booth. I don't know. Like Major League Baseball might have been a different approach than MLS, but they kind of got a little goofy on me putting Katie Nolan out. Like,
yeah,
I don't need none of that. No, don't need none of that. Give me some soccer. Give me some people that know the league, know the players, and give me some X's and O's. Let's go.
Yeah. EJ says, now that the Shield is lost, but we've made the Champions League, is Eastern Conference final a successful season? He says he's finals or bust, but I don't know. What if they make it to the Eastern Conference finals and lose to Montreal?
That happens at home, right? No, no.
Losing and going out in home in the playoffs is not a...
This team, it's to me, and we use this whatever sport, it's always like levels. Last year, they took it up another notch. We got robbed. Now it's just like, okay, look what they were able to do in the regular season. So we raised it up that much. I know we didn't win their Shield, but oh well, setting records, scoring goals. This team is the best team that we've ever seen in a Philadelphia Union uniform. So to me, this is MLS Cup or bust. And I love Jim. I think he would say the same thing.
I agree. To me, it's if they go out before MLS Cup, it would mean that they lose at home via penalties or whatever the fuck. Like, to me, that's a bad way to go out.
How about Jim Curtin turning right into Andy Reid right before our very eyes? I mean, this is crazy.
I know, right? Yeah.
Hey, win that Super Bowl here, though, all right, Jim? Win that MLS Cup here instead of taking it somewhere else.
Time's yours. John says, which team do you want to least draw in the first playoff match? So, right, if they get the bye right now, then they would get the 4-5 winner in the second game. And right now, the 4-5 is Red Bull and Cincinnati. I would rather play Red Bull 99 times out of 100 versus having to play Cincinnati. I know you would get Cincinnati at home, but they lost to Cincinnati earlier in the year. They're one of those teams that's got, like, you know, good forwards that are kind of shifty and tough to deal with. I think they match up just so much better with Red Bull than, or even New York City, too, if they fall to the four. But I would much rather play that cluster there, City, Red Bull, Cincinnati, Orlando. I would play the other three teams before I play Cincinnati.
Yeah, you know, there is something to be said about that extra, you know, talking point where, like, all of a sudden it's about Albright and Noonan, right, more than anything. Yeah. Now all of a sudden, and forgive me, all the former players that are there.
Yep.
So there would just be something twisted about that game immediately. Oh,
that would be fucked up, man. Imagine your season ending with like a Sergio Santos bullshit goal or something, man. That
definitely.
That would be some kind of,
bring on the Red Bull.
Yeah, like he falls over and bundles it in from like a yard out and you lose 1-0 in the rain or something, while the Eagles are playing at the same time. It's not all right, a lot of similar questions here. So let's make this the last one. Everybody wants to know about the new field house and the development down at the stadium. So they showed a new renderings yesterday, Tuesday. We're recording on Wednesday. They showed what the new WSFS Bank Sportsplex, say that 100 times in a row, what it's going to look like. And they have a bunch of the fields, indoor, outdoor facility where Union 2 is going to play. And this basically replaces where the practice fields currently are. And then it adds fields on there so that all of the parking and lot B is removed. And a couple things here, Sean. Number one, like everybody wants to know where they're going to park their damn car. Like they have a plan. If you go back actually to look at the renderings from the Riverfront Alliance, whatever the fuck that's called, originally they did not have fields written in or penciled into that area. That's where the retail and the other stuff was going to be. And then they were going to originally move the practice field back, like where the overpass, like the exit ramps come down. In the original blueprints, they were going to move the practice fields back on the other side of 291. Right. And then you had room for parking on the back side of the wharf building. And they were going to go on the other side of 291 and put the parking back there. So they were going to, so regardless of whether it was these new fields or the original retail and other stuff they were going to build, the plan was always to move the parking back over 291. Mm-hmm. Right. And I understand that's still the goal here. So you would still have lot A, I believe, on the other side of the stadium. And then you have the parking behind the wharf, but all the rest of the parking would be separated by 291. And you would have to walk across 291 or take the new SEPTA station. They do have plans to build a new stop there and have people go that way. So like no, that. Regardless of what they changed, because what they showed yesterday is different than the original blueprint, but the original blueprint also did not have parking in that area either. So the plan was always to move that back and use that waterfront for different stuff. Personally, I love it. It's got Buccini and Pollen like written all over their fingerprints all over it. It's very much like the Sixers field house down in Delaware, and they owned the land for all this anyways. They've always been a big part of it, but I'm all for it, man. And I think I saw the Academy. I think they posted on the Academy site the other day that the Academy's moving down there too.
Yes, which I think is huge because I want to see what that's all about. I think that's a huge talking point for a lot of people out there, a huge draw, and whether they're able to involve it for game days or whatnot. But bottom line is it's something big. I mean, look, you go around my child is only 2.5, so she's not quite there. But you drive and you see all these huge complexes that are huge money makers. And not to say that this is going to be that, but it could very well turn into the soccer stop of Pennsylvania, where there's huge tournaments going on. So I think that would be pretty cool from a fan's perspective. I love it. Look, I know change makes everybody uncomfortable, and I knew the parking was going to be the first thing that people were going to start to complain about. But hey, man, I park underneath the bridge on the other side, and to me, it is so much faster getting out of there than anything. That's number one. Yeah. So I won't have an issue there. Two, I love the SEPTA stop. Didn't read that. If you throw that into the mix, that would be pretty cool. So if we take
that
train
was part there. I got to go back actually because I had a Councilman Morgan from Chester on this show, I guess, a couple months ago, and we were talking about that. That is written into the Riverfront Alliance like plan or whatever. I didn't see anything about that in this release from yesterday, but they were gonna do a stop, like I think an angle where the Larimer is, like that's I think what the plan was to put that new SEPTA stop there. So that would alleviate a lot of, even if they just ran more trains now, it would just make it easier. It feels like they're infrequent.
You're right about that. Guessing, and you can't be guessing with all due respect at night and all that nonsense.
Go ahead,
man. Oh, no, and the final thing that I really do like is the fact that Sons of Ben are moving their lot right next to the stadium. I think that's awesome. That's going to bring a whole new buzz to their environment when you're walking by the stadium. There's been a few times that, look, we're hoping to do some things here for playoff games coming up at the stadium. Now, if you're telling me Sons of Ben are right there, you did a show right there. Could you imagine how much more easier it's going to be? The fact they're right across the street. So I love the fact that they're moving there too as well.
Yeah, we were having audio issues and we were facing away from the tailgate. So I'm looking forward to a better logistical setup next time.
You run a wire from the stadium right across the parking lot, right?
And I remember, I always liked it when the Sons of Ben were right behind the stadium from like 2010 to 2013 or 14 or something like that. That was like the original spot was behind the river end, like in between in that little grass area there. But here's the thing, Sean, if you have the Academy, Union 2, all of the youth stuff, everything in the same location, if you're Jim Curtin, you can go down, you can lead training. You can walk 10 feet over to see Tommy Wilson in the Academy. Like Union 2 is going to be playing there at the same time. It's kind of a shift in strategy because, Nick Sakevich and everybody thought it would be better to spread out the Union footprint, right? So we have a presence in Chester. We have a presence in Wayne, in King of Prussia. And then we have Bethlehem Steel, up in this area here. And we've canvassed the region, right? Canvassed with two S's. But now I think they're kind of realizing, like, hey, let's keep everything in-house. And everything in a central location just makes everything a lot easier for us. You know, at least I think that was the thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, and not to say that, you know, obviously they couldn't come out to shoot with everything along the lines of what they're pitching right now, everything being in one spot with the wharf, the stadium, and all the academy and all the fields, you know. And as I just said, there's levels to this, right? With winning a championship and, of course, building a franchise. This team has just taken on so much in the last couple of years, and it's only getting better and better every single season. And that's just the reality of what we are right now. And it's exciting. And hopefully this one can end with an MLS Cup, because that's what it comes down to. You're so right. If you got the best season in franchise history, but nothing to show for it in the trophy case, how good really was it? Totally agree with that, Kevin.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, I always appreciate the Posadelphia from you. I appreciate the time as always. They got to come out on Sunday, and they have they have to stomp a mud hole in Toronto.
Dude, -240 favorites. Yeah. Come on, man. Like -240 favorites. Kick the door in. Let's go.
You can assuage a lot of concerns by just coming out and just obliterating this team. Get right game. Everybody feels good about going in the playoffs. You get the bye. Let's get healthy. Alejandro Bedoya gets some more rest. We're going to come out in the playoffs. You know, the playoffs.
Playoffs. I just want to plug, if I could, Sunday. It is a perfect time to have the stream on The Gambler. Of course, on iHeartRadio app, 1 o'clock, Green Legion Radio, live from Arizona. Pretty cool stuff there. We're always broadcasting live from enemy territory. That's 1 to 2. 2 o'clock, DraftKings pregame show kicking off. You got Joe Tanzi, you got John Jansen. Kick-ass game, followed by the post-game. Kevin's going to be on there. Joe, John, of course, leading the charge. It's going to be a lot of fun if they win, when they win. That's all there is to it.
All right. Appreciate it, man.
Kev, you the man, bro. Let's go. Hey, get ready for that parade, baby. Right down Broad Street. Eat it.
Let's go. Let's get some fucking jam in the building, as Lavi once said. A lot of hard F-bombs for me on this
podcast. Oh, good one, man.
Put a parental guidance sticker on there and hope that Tipper Gore doesn't see it.
You the man, bro.
Yeah, all right.
Thanks, Kev.
Peace.